At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
All right, on today's episode of Something Major, we're going to recap round of 16 and preview some of the quarterfinal matchups. Let's get going. All right, I got Steve Johnson, Jack Sock, myself, Charlie Fox, a team at SIFT, no Isner today. It's tough to get all four of us on a pod sometimes. I know some of you people in the comments get angry. It's like, why aren't you all four? You know how hard it is to get four guys who are busy, lined on a time, also with producers and whatnot. So you got three today. I want to start with this. I'm at the Open working for ESPN. Put some dry cleaning in today.
Ooh.
Three suits, three shirts, and then some socks and undies. What do you think the total... That's boxers. I'm not like an undie guy. What do you think the total bill was for that? New York price. I'm not going to name the hotel, Matt. I like the hotel, but this was ridiculous.
Wash, dry clean, three suits.
Some was dry cleaned. Three suits dry cleaned. Couple, three shirts dry cleaned.
I'm going to guess like $460.
Jack?
Yeah. $459 and lower.
$663 for basic dry cleaning today.
I guess you should have known though, like hotel laundry, even if you turn in like normal stuff and fill out that sheet, it's always so expensive.
I will say I took my laundry to New York a couple days ago when I was there. It was a nice little fluff and fold. I was going to do it myself because I was going to get it back. But then I realized economically the extra like $4 to have them do it was well worth it. My laundry came out to $24, Sam, if that makes you feel any better.
I mean, I knew I did it at the hotel. I've been getting back at midnight, up at 9. I haven't had time to take anywhere, but $663, that's insane.
Does Isner pay that?
He might not. He left, so he might not have had to, but I don't. I think ESPN pays for it. I don't know, though.
Did you get that price prior to like leaving your clothes? Was there any point of like,
I had no idea what it was going to be.
Drop it off. This is going to be X. And you go, no. Like
I had no choice. Whatever they said, I would have given it because I needed it.
$663.
I don't know if ESPN takes care of that or not. I got to get to the bottom of it. But
expense that to ESPN.
I'm going to try to expense it. That's nuts.
That's why don't you just go buy a new suit?
Seriously. Also, shout out, the celebrity list just came out for the matches tonight. It's now Labor Day. The quality of the celebrity has increased. So tonight we got Anna Wintour, Remy Malek, Alec Baldwin, Cal Penn, Shonda Rhimes,
Boris Kodjo,
fan of the pod and guest of the pod, Brooks Nader, Jason Biggs from American Pie. And I left off about 40 other celebrities that I don't know because I just don't want to go down the rabbit hole of like making fun of them. That they're not celebrities.
Joe Mazzulla was there yesterday. He's good. I like him as a coach.
Joe Mazzulla?
Yeah.
Who? Who's that?
Boston Celtics head coach?
I guess I kind of know that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a big basketball guy, but I think he's like somebody that would be awesome to play for. Seems like a sweet head coach.
Yeah. By the way, 100th show, big moments. We're going to take a moment, I think, after the U.S. Open to go over our favorite guest moments, things like that. But this is the 100th show for Nothing Major. With that, let's get into the matches. I'm going to start here. The one match we're not going to cover is Sinner Buba because they play tonight. Sinner's probably going to win, though. But Lorenzo Musetti, Stevie, out of nowhere, has not played well all summer. He beats Jamie Munar 6-3, 6-0, 6-1. What has gotten into Musetti?
Did you say Jamie Munar?
I said Jaume Munar.
Jamie, did you? Or did you say Jamie?
Whatever, dude. Munar, guys.
That's a question, man. Okay, yes.
He got four games. Yeah, I'm not going to say his name right.
This was an absolute roadhousing to the ultimate degree. I think Musetti, well, I can't, he didn't, according to you, he didn't beat a dark horse player in round one in Petsche Perry card because he's over 6'5".
Yep.
But ultimately, after getting that win, he has looked like the Musetti of the clay season, which is very good, very, very dominant. He's getting to the back ends of these tournaments and he's playing well. And I love when they show that low angle on Armstrong, like the TV, when he's hitting these slow-mo backhands and passing shots. It's like, it's just a thing of beauty. I love watching it. He is going to be in for a world of hurt in his quarterfinals.
Oh, we're going to preview quarters in a little bit. Let's keep recapping. All right.
I know. I'm just saying if we think it's going to go there, but so far he's back to being one of the best players in the world. Or I mean, he already seeded 10th, but like somebody who you can talk about winning these types of events. So glad he kind of figured it out because he did not have the summer. I'm guessing he was dealing with an injury, you know, because he pulled out of the French final or the French semis. And then, you know, one match on grass, like one match at since, you know, just didn't get it rolling. I think he was hurt.
He was in a soft spot of the draw. Petsche Pericard, Goffin, an injured Cobali, and now Munar. Like, that's a pretty good run to the quarterfinals. Not to say he's not playing great.
You beat who you beat on the other side of the net, and it's not like he's beating these guys, like, barely in five. These have been just clean roadhousings.
Yep. Another one, Jack. Félix Auger-Aliassime takes out Rublev 7-5, 6-3, 6-4. I actually called this one today. Again, like Musetti, Félix had been playing like crap in the majors and the Masters Series. All of a sudden, he beats Zverev and then continues on today. Three great sets against Rublev. Is FAA back?
I think I owe maybe a slight apology. I don't know if I ever really said it, but both Musetti and Félix, I think I was like selling stock in my mind on them a little bit, maybe after the last little while.
Everyone was.
Maybe everyone was. And so I'm actually a bit like taken back, honestly, at these results. I think Félix beating Zverev was already shocking. And then to straight sets against Rublev, I was definitely surprised by that. But I don't know. Something's clicking for him.
Forehand return today was on fire. And it's like he's scaled down. It's hitting the forehand 90% of what he normally is. And it's big enough.
He seems more under control. I don't know. He seems playing smarter. I don't know. Backhand staying solid. You know, it's not breaking down much. Serve. I feel like he tend to like double some at times and all that. But I feel like he's just playing really solid overall. Big props to him. But I am surprised, honestly.
Two things stand out to me for Félix. One, he's playing faster. He was very slow before. Very slow. Very methodical about his business. Like, I think I lost him one time 2-2, and it took like 2 hours and 10 minutes.
It used to be a tough watch to watch him because he played so slow.
It used to be a tough watch. So he's playing faster, which is good. He's, you know, just getting in better rhythm. And the forehand's not as spinny anymore. I feel like he always like tried to like manufacture like this heavy forehand, and he's just hitting through it now. He's just going after it. He's playing awesome.
He out-hit Rublev.
Dude, he had two wins in his last five slams.
I know.
Like, we've talked about it here. Has he had a good year? Has he not had a good year? He's got two titles, another final. Like, he's top something in the race. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but, like, not sure if he's having a good year.
It's officially a good year.
He's made quarters of a slam playing well. And I
actually
think—
Two titles, a final, and a quarter of a slam, good year.
I think he's a listener of the pod.
I could see that.
I think I've gathered that. Had a quick conversation with him. I think he's a listener. He's one of those guys we can add to the list.
That's why he's playing well.
I feel like when I walk by him in the hallway, he does give a little smirk. Like, I don't want to admit it, but I listen on the bus ride to the courts. Bus ride. He's probably in one of the nice Cadillacs.
I don't think he's taking the bus. I think he's taking the
Escalade. That is true. Moving on. Also, Félix was 1-7 against Rublev going into that match. Turned things around. It's weird in tennis how Musetti and Félix losing, and then tennis, the beauty of it, you get a fresh start every tournament and something clicks. You guys know it. There's no rhyme or reason. I have no answer to it. But sometimes you can be playing poorly and just go to a tournament, have a good practice, and you wake up one day and it clicks. And that's both these guys, that has happened.
You just need one win. I feel like that's all you need is like one little spark, one little moment, and you're gone. You're off to the races.
Yeah. Alex Demonauer beats Reedy, the qualifier ranked 435, 6-3, 6-2, 6-1 in 90 minutes. We don't need to do a deep dive on that. That was expected. So let's move
on. Can we go backwards just a little bit? Have you ever seen something from the round before? You and I were sitting watching the Reedy versus Majcek match. And this was like two corpses out there. Which one was going to retire first? No, we were watching like neither guy could walk. We're like somebody is just willing to die to make a fourth round and then get absolutely roadhoused by by Demon. I was just kind of objectively funny to see because neither one looked good, and you were just waiting for one of them to retire. But you toughed him out, and then he got his ass kicked.
Fritzy beat Mahach, 6'4", 6'3", 6'3". Jack, Fritzy looked good. Mahach, like, didn't seem to have much of a game plan, but that's a good sign for Fritz. I thought that was going to be a battle, and he went out there and made quick work of short shorts Mahach.
Yeah, I was... I mean, other than movement, I feel like Fritz is just better at, I mean, he's kind of just a better version of him. I mean, obviously Mahach is a lot quicker around the court maybe, but yeah, I don't really know what he would do unless he maybe tried to come in a lot.
He didn't know either during the match.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't even know what the game plan would be. I thought Taylor, yeah, looked phenomenal, was on point, and I think he's going to carry that in, that confidence in against his next opponent, which will be a fun, spicy match to watch. So
John called that one too. John called it. We'll give him his flowers if Jack has any handy.
Yes, gotta give him the flowers.
Stevie, Novak takes out Struff. I was courtside for this. This looked like Novak, prime Novak. The last two sets against Norrie, and now three straight sets against Struff. He's looked like five sets in a row, prime Novak. Again, it's against Norrie and Struff. No offense to those guys. He's playing really. Is this the best Novak has played all year right now?
Yeah, it feels like that's the best Novak has played for sure. But I think his biggest opponent in the last two matches was you, quite frankly. He had to deal with you pre-match and post-match.
You know what nerve-wracking is asking these one question?
What is Sam Querrey doing on this court asking me questions about tennis? That's insane.
Yeah.
That was his biggest opponent. It wasn't Norrie and it wasn't Struff. It was you. It was absolutely you. But I think you did a good job.
Yeah. James Blake said 2025 Novak would beat 2015 Novak. That's nonsense.
That's insane, James.
That's insane, James.
James, we're going to send this clip to you. You're wrong. That's insane. Novak of 2015 beats Novak today.
You know what is scary with Novak? But you know when he walks out and he looks like he wants to just get in, like, on and off the court quick, and he, like, has that motivated, like, plays fast, serves fast, and he's, like, starting to ace and, like, come in and, like, do... He had that from the get-go, and I just... Struff was in for a world of hurt, honestly.
Yeah. No, that's what happened out there. Also, the question we just answered was some Sid from the DMV. Is that Francis Tiafoe territory?
Yes.
Is that big foe? All right, moving on. Also, Novak, that's his 64th quarterfinal in 80 appearances at majors. So congrats to him for that stat. Oh, my gosh.
That's crazy.
Alcaraz made quick work of Rinderknecht.
Did we see the shot of the year?
We saw the shot of the year. That was in the second game, by the way. That little backhand, behind-the-back stab. Unbelievable from Alcaraz.
He looks so much cooler with the short hair.
I know. I like the hair. I'm starting to like the
hair. I do. I'm a fan of the hair now.
He is he's starting to be like, you know, Fednadal Joker, where just through four rounds, hasn't lost a set, having fun, beating guys in an hour and 30 minutes. Sinner as well, for the most part. I mean, a little hiccup against Schoppo, but like those guys are doing what the big three did for years, where they're just rolling through guys the first week. And really the tournament starts for them second week. There's two tournaments for Sinner and Alcaraz. The first week is the warm-up week, and then the tournament starts now in the quarterfinals for those two. We got one more. Lehecka beat Mannarino. Again, no need for a deep dive in that. Lehecka was, of course, he's going to beat Mannarino.
That was just straightforward, ho-hum.
Straightforward. All right, let's go a little preview. Assuming Sinner wins, Sock, Sinner plays Musetti. Sinner head-to-head 2-0. Musetti playing well, but that... The run for Musetti comes to an end, right? When he meets Sinner?
Yeah, comes to an end. Yannick will just do Yannick things. Unfortunately, I don't think there's much that Musetti can do about that. All Italian battle, but I think Sinner and straights, I'm not concerned about that at all.
Agreed. Stevie, this is the big quarter, the opening. Felix versus Demonauer. Who is winning that and why?
I'm going to take Felix. The way he's been playing, it's... You know, prior to like 6 days ago, I would have taken Demon in that one. But the way Felix is playing, back-to-back wins over Zverev and Rublev in just not comfortable, but like dominant fashion, I'm going to take him. With his serve and his like power, he can hit through Demon. So I think I think Felix gets that one done. I think that's going to be the longest semi, or excuse me, longest quarter. I think that's going to be like a five-setter.
I got Felix too. If you had asked me that 1 month ago, I would have said Demon in three quick sets. Now, if Felix keeps playing like he's playing, Felix is winning that.
I'm taking Demon for sure.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Demon, Owen, I think he's made the quarterfinals five times, so looking for his first semi. Taylor Fritz versus Novak Djokovic, I'll take that. Novak leads the head-to-head 10-0. Based on the last five sets I saw from Novak, I gotta go Novak. I mean, he's just locked in, and he's got that bad guy look on his face where he's going to win.
Unless Taylor wins 90% of his serve points, I'd like Novak as well.
I feel like Novak as well. And then
I'm going to take Taylor in that one.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Nobody beats Taylor 11 times in a row.
Like a 51-49.
All right.
Percent, yeah.
And then the last one, Alcaraz versus Lehecka. We're all picking Alcaraz. I'll pick for you two because...
Taking Lehecka.
No, you're not.
I'm joking.
All right, thank you. It's just, that's insanity to pick Lehecka. Insanity. I don't think he wins a set, right?
No.
I don't know how.
Yeah. Stevie,
not at this point.
It's not possible. It's not possible.
Yeah. I think Lehecka wins a set in the third round, but not in the quarters.
From the office to a first date, there's a lot of pressure to wear the right clothes for every situation. But clothes don't make the man. With Mack Weldon, you can build a wardrobe that looks polished in any setting and tells the world that you stay you wherever you go. They combine timeless style with modern performance materials to keep you looking good and feeling comfortable all day, no matter what's on today's agenda. Browse everything from shorts and polos to sweats and crews. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 25% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MACKWELDON.com. Promo code MACK25.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to the women. Sabalenka takes out Buxa, 6-1, 6-4. Again, no need for us to do a deep dive into that. That's expected. A lot of people don't know Buxa. And Sabalenka is just, look, she's number one in the world. She's crushing the ball. And she looks good. Stevie, Vondrousova takes out Rybakina last night in three. I think that was a little surprising. A lot of people like Rybakina to maybe make a run to the title. What's so funny?
I'm thinking about it because we've had this conversation. Did you pick Rybakina after she beat Raducanu to win the tournament or no? Or am I just making that up?
I've pivoted from Mboko to Raducanu to Rybakina. I'll give you my pick after the end of the show.
So you did. Okay. I'm not just making that up in my mind. I feel like you were on team Rybakina after that one. But this is impressive. Vondrousova, she's won Wimby. She just needs to be healthy. She's unseeded for just because she hasn't been able to stay healthy. So we know her talent level is extremely high. And she's been playing really well. So, I mean, she beats Paolini. Now she beats Rybakina. Like, the confidence back to championship level confidence. So if the body can hold up, there's no reason she can't continue on in this tournament.
Jack, Pegula takes out Ann Lee 1 and 2. Pegula continues to just roll through people. I think I saw something where, like, she's lost the fewest amount of games in row to the round of 16, to the quarters, jeez Louise, since, like, prime Serena. So, again, she's been in a little bit of a soft spot of the draw, but I don't know. She's got as good a chance as any to win it, in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, she's already made a deep run at the U.S. Open before, so obviously comfortable from that area. Takes the subway to the courts.
Does she take the subway every day?
I don't know. That's just what we heard, but I mean,
there's no way, right?
No, I think it's like playing in her backyard type of thing. I think she loves it there. She's playing great.
She just rolling. She doesn't give us much to say because she's just rolling through people.
I was sitting with her after the win over Ann Lee, and I was like, "How nice is it that you get a play at 11:30? You win in an hour, and you're just done for the day. You just move on. You get your treatment in. You go to a great dinner. You got the next day off."
Dinner. She can make lunch in the city. The way she's winning, she makes lunch.
There's no better feeling.
All right. Match of the tournament. Krejcikova takes out Taylor Townsend. This has been the best match of the tournament.
Brutal.
1-6, 7-6, 14-12 on the breaker, then 6-3. Taylor Townsend, 8 match points. I was gutted for her. But I'll say this. Those 8 match points, Krejcikova stepped up. I don't have it right in front of me, but like 5 of those, Krejcikova hit a... there was like 5 forehand winners, 1 backhand winner, that volley backhand winner. Only one error was committed by Taylor, basically. And so it's like, yes, Taylor, you got to be gutted. But at the same time, credit to Krejcikova. She like stepped up in those moments and like went after shots and made them.
Yeah, when her back was against the wall, she played her best tennis. She's won multiple slams, and that's what you have to do. I mean, she didn't play her best tennis probably, but that tiebreaker was insane. I feel for Taylor. That's got to hurt, you know, being in that situation. But Krejcikova played, as John would say, inspired tennis in those moments.
Jack, you ever have what's the most amount of match points you had didn't win? Do you remember?
I mean, I don't remember off the top of my head, but I can't imagine it was more than maybe one or two. Or I mean,
I had 7 in my last ever match. If that makes you guys feel any better?
It does. Makes me feel much better. Thank you.
My last ever singles match against Emilio Nava. I think I had 7 match points.
Oh. What a way to go out, though.
No, not really, man. Not really. No. I'll tell you what.
Yeah, it is.
He played inspired tennis as well down this match.
Inspired? You sound like you're British. Stop saying
just
that.
Funny, just because of John and your boy Goodall over there.
I know. It's like Goodall's rubbing off on us. Inspired tennis. Where are we at here? Osaka takes out Coco Gauff today. I don't know what you guys think about this. I'm not surprised by it. I think a lot of people going to this, they were maybe like, oh, Coco's going to win. Coco struggled for the first two rounds. Coco crushed it in the third round. She beat Freck 1-3. And I think people maybe overreacted to that. We're like, all right, Coco's back. But Osaka, like, final Canada. And now she's rolling through here. Jack, thoughts on that? Osaka looks like, again, like she's like back in winning form. And Coco, the fact that she got to the fourth round, honestly, it's like been a bit of a struggle. But she's, you know, she got to find that serve.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. Not too surprised. Just, yeah, how Coco's been serving, playing, like you said.
Coco had, for reference, 8 winners, 33 errors.
That's usually not going to work in tennis. But, yeah, but also Osaka, I haven't, like, seen her play a ton. You don't really know maybe what level she's going to be at, you know. So, I am surprised at a 3-2 kind of just routine-looking score.
Stevie, you surprised with that score?
No, not really.
I'm honestly not surprised with the score. Like, it's tough for, like, you know, if we're on ESPN and stuff, tough for me to be like, I think Osaka's going to roll through Coco. But, like, part of me thought that just because, like, Osaka's playing well right now.
Yeah, she's playing really well. And we talked about it, maybe it was last episode, the one before. But when you don't serve well like Coco, it starts to bleed into every aspect of your game. You put so much pressure on your forehand, on your backhand, on your movement. And today it just kind of broke down. There's only so many people that she physically can just out-compete, you know, without really playing good tennis. And she came up against Osaka today, and that was all she wrote. But she's going to figure it out. She won a slam this year. She's still 3 in the world. Get, you know, a lot of time left for her.
Coco could probably out-grit and out-compete everyone besides, like, Sabalenka, Swiatek, Osaka, and maybe, like, a couple others.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
All right, Carolina Muchova defeated Marta. What's the
Muchova? I never know what we're going to get with the names, but I love Muchova, it, man. You're crushing it.
Took out Kostyuk 6-3, 6-7, 6-3. Yeah, I don't need to do a deep dive. And then Iga Swiatek took out Alexandrova. Iga now my pick to win it. 6-3, 6-1. Iga just.
She hasn't skipped a beat.
Hasn't skipped a beat. Like, went about her business today at Armstrong.
Did you see, like, right after that match, she plays well, and then she's still texting the coach, like, hey, let's get out there right away. Yeah. She, like, stopped the on-court interview and was like, hey, I've got to phone a friend here. We got to get a practice court. I'm trying to win this thing. Like, let's get back out there. Let's wrap this thing up.
All right, women's quarterfinal preview. Stevie, Sabalenka or Vondrousova? Who is winning that?
Sabalenka. She's just... Vondrousova has played well. She's a champion. She's a Grand Slam champion. Sabalenka is just at a different level at the moment, so I'm taking her relatively comfortable.
Jack, Pegula versus Barbara Krejcikova. I mean, Pegula's draw, I know she's crushing it, but, like, how about the draw?
Yeah, the way she's playing, and Krejcikova for a lot of that match against Townsend didn't look great, so I'm going with Jesse Pegula on this one for sure.
Krejcikova has won their last two matches, but I agree with you. I'm also going with Pegula in that one. Stevie, Naomi Osaka versus Muchova.
Osaka. She is 4-0 in quarters of slams, 4-0 in semis, and 4-0 in finals. So it's going to continue.
Will it?
Yes.
What are you saying?
She will be 5-0 in quarters. I'll get back to you in the semis.
All right, fine.
She'll be 5-0 in quarters.
And then finally, Iga Swiatek plays Amanda Anisimova. It was 0-0 last time, guys. I'm going to go with Iga. She's playing just so well. But Amanda, it was 0-0 last time. She's got nothing to lose. She's gonna be fired up. But just give me Iga in that one. Guys, we got to go life advice today. This is unreal. Life advice. I'm a 36-year-old male. I hope everyone likes life advice. We love helping people here on the pod. I'm a 36-year-old male in my late 20s. My father told me that I have a brother I never knew about. My dad had an affair with a married woman in his early 20s. The woman made my dad promise to leave her and never speak of it to anyone. My dad has never met his son. My question, do I reach out to my brother and tell him the truth? I think I found him using social media. I'm a tennis coach, by the way. Love the pod. Curious to hear your thoughts on this one. Stevie, you want to jump in on it first?
We're coming hot with life
advice. Dang, life advice. Holy. This should be going to Dr. Phil, not us, but let's do our best.
Yeah, this should definitely go to the higher powers than the three of us morons, quite frankly.
Should we tell everyone that we're not certified therapists or doctors?
Yeah. Correct. We are not certified in any way. You should take this with a grain of salt. And if it, you know, any negative blowback here, we're not sure. Remember, we're not sure. Disclaimer. I say you reach out. Why not? Life's short, man. Reach out to your brother. You'll figure it out. I don't know what's going to come of it. But this is wild, guys. We've gone from, you know, somebody trying to go to medical school. We've gone from that to somebody trying to get a dog. And now we've gone to this. We've really taken a turn.
Jack, do you want him to reach out, try to find his brother?
I think so. It's family at the end of the day. So I think you gotta reach out and just see what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. And look, everyone's in their 30s, their 20s. The parents are older. You guys can get by this. It's going to be awkward, but I think you reach out, probably do one of those like 23andMe tests, I think, to make sure that's actually your brother and not just like he looks like me on social media. I don't know how official the research has been, but reach out, man. And then when you reach out, we are going to need some closure on the pod as well. Correct. On how it went. So let us know if we can help too. If you and the brother want to come on the pod for the first time, we'd love to facilitate that. Yes, anyway, Sam. Life advice. Just gosh.
But again, we're not that smart. So
I don't know. I think that was great advice. Our life advice is we're helping people. I mean, more than we know, guys. Anyway, all right. That's it for this episode. Great episode, I thought. Remember we said the last one kind of sucked. This was a good one.
No. You pull out some flowers, guy, and you go over this bracket challenge right now.
All right. Bracket challenge update. Stevie wants his flowers. We had almost 7,000 people. Stevie's currently in 105th place.
I want the gift card, boys. I want it.
He wants that 2,000. You get it. You get it if you win.
It's a lot of shoes on Tennis Warehouse.
John's Facts. In 2,345th. Stevie's in, or Jack's in 2,856th. That's a lot. And I'm currently in 5,497th place. Stevie, though, like almost top 100. Unbelievable. We'll see if that. And we got a lot more tennis. Loser has to write and sing a jingle for the new. Since I realize we can't just use whatever music we want in the intro music, you got to like pay artists, which is stupid. The winner here is going to write and record a jingle, and that will be the new thing. Also, the top fans right now, the top 1, 2, 3. I can't even read it. The font's so freaking small.
We got number one. We got Thanios Picks at number one. Number two is Wisco Mike. And number three is Du Gomez 33. Both the top two guys have Sinner, and the third guy has Demon Hour. So he could really...
Someone put Demon Hour to win it?
Demon Hour over Novak.
Wow.
So we'll see.
Thanios Picks has Felix in the quarters. He had that.
Yeah, so...
Wow. Who picks Felix? And you got to be a big Felix guy to pick that going into the tournament.
He's probably Canadian.
I guess he's Canadian.
All right. If any fans have any like little, like if we losers got to sing a song for the pod, if any fans are in like the music business, got a little jingle, a little background, or you want to help write us a song, we'll take it. We'll take the help. All right. That's it. We'll see you guys in 2 days for the quarterfinal recap.